Today, property markets caught in higher rate trap as parents help more to buy. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, and that is Post covering finance and property news. We're at a very significant point in the spring auction market as the prospect of early interest rate relief for home buyers becomes more uncertain in the months ahead, even though weekly clearance rates are so far holding steady as overall property listings rise. But within that, less expensive property is shifting faster, driven by a further rise in those buying with the help of the family bank, with money from parents, grandparents, or siblings easing the purchasing path, while other first-time buyers are clubbing together to become joint owners of a new home, despite the potential risks. According to CoreLogic, preliminary results show that the national auction clearance rates over the weekend rose slightly to 65.8%, marginally up from last week's 63.4%. Around 2,820 auctions were held in the past week. That's the second highest volume through the spring season to date. Over 2,900 auctions are expected in the coming week. After the slowdown for the spring horse racing carnival, Melbourne's auctions swung back into action. Of the 1,293 homes taken to market, 66.5% changed hands. That's up from 62.4% a week earlier on CoreLogic's preliminary tally. But that means that less than two-thirds of auctions last week were successful on those preliminary figures, and the results are tracking below averages for the spring selling season. And of course, the final success rate is expected to be significantly lower when all the results are tallied. The previous week's final result was 56.3%. So what's driving the trends? Well, stretched homeowners and aspiring buyers have been hanging their hopes on an interest rate cut midway through next year or even earlier. But that likelihood is already dimming after RBA Governor Michelle Bullock warned last week against government-stoked inflation and another interest rate rise was still a possibility. The election of Donald Trump as the next US president has further doused optimism, with concerns that his big spending commitments could keep inflation higher and make it less likely that local interest rates will fall. In fact, last week, ANZ Chief Executive Shane Elliott warned that interest rate cuts were likely to come later next year and will be less frequent than expected if Trump pushes through with inflationary policies. Amid the traditional flood of spring listings and affordability concerns, the market has already softened in Sydney and Melbourne, where prices are falling. Even in Perth, Brisbane and Adelaide, the runaway price growth of the past year is easing. SQM Research founder Louis Christopher posted on X that Sydney's CBD residential property listings have the highest level since our records began in 2010. And he also said that he was somewhat negative on the housing market, especially Sydney and Melbourne, although he said it was too soon to tell whether the past week's marginal improvement in clearance rates was just a blip or evidence that the market would muddle through a shallow downturn. There is a possibility here that if the housing market finishes the remaining weeks before Christmas at current clearance rates and they don't continue to deteriorate, that might suggest some type of floor to buyer demand, he said. But if clearance rates just level out from those current levels, that would signify that this downturn is certainly a modest one. At this stage, the market is not pricing in a significant downturn, but that could change. And we could have another rise in interest rates. Migration could fall a lot slower than expected. All of these things could create problems for the housing market. Now, of course, weak clearance rates can lead to lower prices as vendors rein in their expectation and buyers already have plenty to choose from amid the traditional surge in spring listings. Which takes us to my latest bank of mum and dad data. Based off our surveys, we found that the proportion of first-time buyers seeking help from the bank of mum and dad, or better put, the family bank because they include grandparents and siblings too, rose to 59.8% of those in the market. That translates to about 17,800 first-time buyers. Whilst assistance can come in a number of ways, from providing cash, paying stamp duty, or contributing to monthly repayments, the average size of the cash contribution rose to $108,000 in the last 3 months. That's a national average, but it's considerably higher in Sydney, where the average was over $260,000. And we note that often banks are not really doing much due diligence on those Bank of Mum and Dad Seagull cash injections. I discussed this on my live show last Thursday with mortgage broker Chris Bates, but it's also worth noting that those who get that Seagull help are actually more likely to default in the subsequent 5 years. Looking at who is providing the funds, we see that whilst parents are providing 81% of households with support, grandparents are up to 12%, and other family members are up to 7%. This trend towards other family members contributing continues to rise, and it's consistent with recent Productivity Commission research on the intergenerational wealth transfer, which is underway. Whilst banks can observe financial support from parents in the form of a guarantor, beyond that, money passing from parents to kids is generally classed as a gift. And that could look like interest-free lending, early bequests, or acting as guarantors. The common denominator is being fortunate enough to have been born to parents with the spare cash to help. Of $1.5 trillion gifted in Australia between 2002 and 2018, about 90% was in the form of inheritance, but the remainder was gifted inter vivo, or between the living, mostly to people aged around 20, and averaging, according to the Productivity Commission, around $8,000 in total. Intergenerational bequests, that is, from the dead to the living, more than doubled between 2002 and 2018 to $52 billion, the Commission's research report showed, while intergenerational gifts from parents to their children tripled in value to $12 billion. While not all home loan assistance from parents is in the form of gifts, the Productivity Commission says that the number of children receiving them from parents has doubled in the past 20 years. Joey Maloney, Deputy Programme Director of the Grattan Institute's Economic Policy Programme, said the Bank of Mum and Dad is growing in importance. It has become so well established that in 2020, it was, by one measure, the fifth largest mortgage lender in the nation. Of course, with the higher interest rates compressing borrowing capacity by nearly half compared with the lowest rate several years ago, while those fortunate enough to be able to tap the family bank to transact, those without such assistance find the barriers to transact almost impossibly high now. This leaves behind a cohort of people and creates a pretty meaningful long-term inequality concern. And as a recent The Conversation article highlighted, although the Bank of Mum and Dad are helping young Australians to get into the housing market, perhaps at the expense of pushing up housing prices, it is far from clear whether such financial assistance works well for the parents providing the support. Financial elder abuse is the third most common form of elder abuse in Australia. The perpetrators of elder abuse are most likely to be adult children, with sons more likely to commit financial elder abuse than daughters. Yet mortgage brokers, financial advisors, and even government officials appear to be encouraging older people to provide financial help to adult children wanting to buy homes without considering whether there might be consequences for the parents. To find out how intergenerational financial assistance works, they conducted interviews with 52 parents and adult children who were recently given or received financial assistance with home ownership. The amounts transferred ranged from $5,000 to $500,000 Aussie dollars, and the average was $75,000, but some amounts were much higher. The common theme of interviews was a lack of clarity about whether the payments were gifts or loans, the mischaracterization of loans as gifts, and undocumented agreements entered into without any documentation or legal advice. Most lenders want older Australians to provide a gift letter stating the money they are providing to the adult child is a gift rather than a loan. This is because a loan would reduce the amount the adult child could borrow from their lender, which may make it harder for them to get a mortgage. Parents may feel obligated to provide gift letters even when they and their adult children regard the transfer as a loan. There are no requirements for parents to obtain independent legal advice before signing such a letter, and no cooling off period. In fact, few of the parents that they spoke to sought legal or financial advice. Australia's banking code of practice does little to encourage banks to support parents who provide financial assistance with home ownership to their children, while it commits banks to take extra care with customers who are experiencing elder abuse. The only documentation usually required for transfers from parents is a statutory declaration or a gift letter written by the parent to the adult child's lending institution, which may be a different bank, of course. The code acknowledges that older people's banks may only become aware of their circumstances if you tell us about them, which is, of course, a shame. And the desire to avoid getting their adult children into trouble makes it unlikely that older people will report financial abuse to their bank. Many of the parents surveyed found it difficult and uncomfortable to talk about money. As a result, the parents and adult children often had different understandings of whether the assistance was a gift or a loan, and when, if at all, it would be repaid, even when it was a loan. This ambiguity extended to the parents' financial positions too, with most of the adult children that they studied having very little understanding of whether their parents could afford to assist them without compromising their own financial well-being. Legally, in the absence of evidence to the contrary, funds provided by Australian parents to their children are presumed to be gifts. This unfortunate presumption carries the assumption older adults' money will be passed down to their children, representing this as the default state of affairs in the absence of evidence otherwise. It means older adults' money is represented as not entirely their own and puts the burden of proof on them to prove that what they had understood to be a loan was actually a loan, a task made more difficult by the existence of a gift letter and the potential of financial elder abuse. So the conversation concludes that their study does not find that intergenerational financial assistance is inherently exploitative, but it does point to risks. Risks made more likely by the lack of protection offered to parents by banks and the legal system, their understandable desire to help their adult children, and the presumption that financial transfers are gifts. More generally, it's another symptom of the broken housing market. And if you want to learn more about this and get the latest on my modelling, join us next Tuesday for my live stream at 8 p.m. Sydney, when you can ask a question live. And you can also see the latest postcode level analysis, and we'll also look at the broader trends as well. So I think this is a time for caution, given the rising levels of uncertainty. That said, for many jumping from the rental sector to buying their own home, it could be the equivalent of jumping from the frying pan into the fire in the current environment. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.